For those of you that are still standing and you have your Bibles, will you go ahead and turn to Psalm 32? That is where we will start today, Psalm 32. The 32nd number of Psalms. There are about, I think, three verses that I want to read to our hearing. I think it's three. 7, 8, and 9. Amen. Are you there? Looks like we may have it up on the, are you ready? Okay, so then that means we can read this together. So I won't read it to your hearing. We can read it together. Can you see that? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Let's read together. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. Surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Amen. That first part was your declaration unto the Lord. Amen. Said, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. That's what you said. David wrote it, and he was saying, God, this is who you are to me. And then there was a response from God who says that I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And then he says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So the message today is, Lord, I won't be stubborn. Okay? I won't be stubborn. I won't be mule-headed, but I'll listen and receive. I won't be stubborn. Over the course of this month, we've been talking about seeking and pursuing, asking for, thirsting and hungering for the right thing. And we have said the right thing is the Holy Spirit. We've been asking for more and more of God's Spirit to fill us and to control us. Luke 11, where Jesus said to his disciples, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more then will your Father, which is a good God, amen, can we acknowledge that God is good? Amen. I like that all the time. God is good all the time. In fact, it says every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, that there is no shifting of shadow in him. God is good. Even when what I'm going through may not be so good, God is still good. Amen. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is good, who is perfect? Isn't God perfect? Wouldn't you agree? Would you agree? He's perfect, isn't he? There is no flaw in God. When we say that you have no rival, God is perfect in all of his ways, even when I can't understand them, nor when I can't see how he is leading and where he's going, it does not in any way impact God's perfection. Even when those who are evil impact my life in negative ways, it does not impact God's perfection. God is perfect. Amen. And so Jesus said, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your good Father, God himself, the holy God. God is holy, isn't he? Isn't he holy? Not only is he good and perfect, but isn't he also holy? Uses that word holy to distinguish himself, to be set apart from everything else. That means that there is no evil in God. There is no contamination in God. God is holy, pure, set apart. That's why there is no rival, because there is only one who is holy, and he calls you and me to be holy like he is holy. But God is holy. He says if a God who is good and perfect and holy, he then will give even better gifts than what an earthly parent who is evil will give. In fact, Jesus narrows it down and he just doesn't say good gifts. He says we'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit for those who asked him. Amen. And so we've been saying, God, we want more and more of your Spirit in our lives. We want to be controlled by you, by your Spirit. We want to receive from you what your Spirit has to offer. We want to walk in the attributes of your Spirit and produce the fruit of your Spirit in our lives. God, we just want more of you. So we begin by asking, and then we said that, you know what? At the same time, you've got to develop a thirst and a hunger for him. Got to step out of this idea of you good right where you are. No. Let's not be satisfied, because there is more that God desires to give to you. I love that song we sang, New Wine. I want to lay down my old, pick up the new. He said, new fire. Because you know I don't know lyrics. Amen. Today, right? It is like, I want you to fill me fresh and new with your new wine, which means that God has to do something in order for us to be able to contain the new wine. Because Jesus also talks about, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. You don't put new wine in an old way of thinking. Amen. You don't put the power of new wine in an old way of living. Amen. He says he's got to do some work in you so that he can then put new wine in you and allow the new wine to expand. That's why you don't put new wine in old wineskins, because new wine begins to expand through the fermenting process. And if you put new wine in old wineskins, what will happen is the new wine is expanding, that those old skins cannot handle the expansion of the new wine, and the old wineskins will burst, and the wine will spill and be wasted. And Jesus said, no, this is too good to be wasted. It's too good. He says, what I want to give you and put in you is too good for it to be wasted. So I've got to give you new wine skins so that I can put a new wine in you, so that when it is expanding you, it won't burst, but it's going to serve the purposes for which you have been filled. So we want new wine. Jesus, we want more and more of you. Spirit of the living God, we want more and more of you. Make us thirsty and hungry for you. Yes, God, stir up some stuff in my life. Create some stuff in my life where I can't solve it with my own ingenuity, and I've got to lean in on you. You've heard the expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink unless you put some salty oats in front of him. Amen. And after he has eaten those salty oats and he gets a little dry, he's going to reach over into the water and drink. Sometimes in order to create the thirst and hunger for more and more of God's Spirit, sometimes some stuff has got to come and trouble the water. Amen. Amen. We don't like waters being troubled. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I included you in that. I don't like my waters to be troubled. Amen. I like it when there is no ripple in my pond. Amen. I like it when life is smooth and good. Amen. Problem is when there is no rain, you don't appreciate the sunshine as much as you do after a few cloudy days. Amen. Unfortunately, it's just kind of human nature. And so sometimes the water has to be stirred, disturbed, create a little bit of a thirst and hunger for you to know that you don't have all that you need. God wants to give you more. So when trouble comes, the trouble is not intended to run you from God, make you run from God. It's intended to make you run to God. That's right. When trouble comes, it doesn't supposed to separate you from God. When difficulties come, they don't supposed to separate you from God. You don't supposed to move into a place, but God, I thought we was better than that. Why you allow this trouble to come my way? But God, I went to church Sunday. I read my Bible this morning. God, why you letting trouble come my way? Because that's the mentality sometimes, right? That if I do these things, if I check off this list, that insulates me from the troubles of this world. No, Jesus said this, rest assured that you will have trouble. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the trouble. Jesus said, listen, what you need to do is build your life upon my words. And then he uses an expression. He says, and when the storms of life come. He didn't say if, he says when the storms of life come. He said the wind may blow, but because you have built your life, you built your house on the rock, that it will not destroy the life that you have built. He says trouble gonna come. So when trouble come, don't allow it to separate you from God, but allow it to push you to him. Especially when you can't handle the circumstances that have come your way. Especially when you don't understand what to do. Run to him. He says, I will instruct you. I will teach you. I will guide you. You can't receive that teaching. You can't receive that instruction. You can't receive that guidance if you are running away. You got to run to him. And make that declaration that says, God, you're my hiding place. It's you, God. It's raining outside. I need a place to hide. You make that declaration to him with your mouth and you run to him. You don't run away. Don't allow your trouble, whatever it might be, whatever form it may come in, never allow your trouble to separate you from the God who is the answer to your trouble. But you run to him. Take refuge, cover, and shelter in him. Because it is his desire that you allow him to lead God and direct your life. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to another passage of scripture. It's found in Ephesians, New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll look at verses 18 through 20. Verse 18 is really the verse that catches my attention, but all of it is so good that I want to read it all. So verse 18 begins this way. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. By the way, that word means it just leads to a reckless lifestyle. A lifestyle without borders, if you will. That so bad that there is basically nothing that you won't do. Okay, that's what that means. He says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. When you get drunk on wine, that unfortunately, there's no telling what might happen. He says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Go back for a second to verse 18. Just as a word of note, we are often good about talking about don't get drunk. Amen. We'll tell folk, don't be getting drunk. But we're slow to say, be filled with the Spirit. Aren't we? When was the last? Okay. Ashley, when was the last time somebody said to you, Ashley, be filled with the Spirit? It's just not the kind of conversation, the kind of exhortation, or the thing that we normally say, right? We say to folks, read your word. In fact, we've done a good job of encouraging folks to read their Bible daily, regularly, to feed on the Word of God. But I dare say that we have not done an equally good job of saying, be filled with the Spirit. And what you and I discover is that if all folk doing are reading the Word and eating the Word, and they're not being filled with the Spirit, you have a bunch of folk who are puffed up with knowledge, and yet they don't have the power to support that knowledge. You have a bunch of folk who can quote scripture, and they will use it out of context to even support ungodly stuff in the name of Jesus, because they haven't equally been filled with the Spirit. There cannot be just the reading of the word. There must be the filling of the Spirit of God, because you need the Spirit of God to first understand what the word has said and then to operate in what the word has said. Amen. And during the month of July, I've just been trying to urge us, motivate us, encourage us to get a thirst and a hunger for more and more of the Spirit of God, and stop operating in our own strength and experience. Stop operating in history of yesterday and start realizing that, God, I need fresh, new wine, new water today. So that, God, when I read this word, I want fresh revelation that helps me to walk today. And I don't want to approach the word of God saying, oh, I read that last month, and read it like, you know what, it's not living. Don't you know the word of God is alive? It is active. And that wherever you are in life, it's amazing. The word of God can find you where you are and says, yeah, you read this last month, but you've had a whole 30 days of experience. I got something new to show you. If you go to his word like it's stale, you won't receive. You go to it like it's alive. And you say, God, I want fresh revelation. And the way you get fresh revelation is by being filled with the Spirit of the living God. Amen. In case, in the midst of all of that rambling that I did, the point that I wanted to emphasize is that you and I need to learn how to regularly say, God, fill me with your Spirit. And then encourage others to be filled with his Spirit. To not be shy and bashful about saying, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Because you know, sometimes when you're interacting with folk, you can tell. You can tell. You ain't been filled up today. Now why y'all, come on, y'all don't leave me hanging. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all know I'm so here, check it out. When you're driving your car, you have a gauge that shows you how much fuel you have, right? The gauge goes from full, sometimes a half, And with gas prices today, you know, we drive on them fumes as long as we can, right? But it's showing you that you're getting to a place of where it's going to be empty. And you and I know what happens when it's empty, right? You can be moving along and all of a sudden you'll get a jerk. I'm talking like I've experienced this before. I have. You too? It's like, you know what? You didn't pay attention to the gauge, or you thought, man, I got a little bit more. I got a little bit more. And suddenly it reminds you that, nope, you don't have what it takes to cause this piece of machinery to function the way it needs to be to get you to your destination. You end up running out of gas. Now, here's the truth of the matter. You and I, when the Spirit of God is filling us and he's working with us, you can tell sometimes when a brother or sister is running on low, running on empty. Amen. Can't you? Sister Monita can tell sometime when Pastor or and so she'll tell me, you need to go back and do your quiet time. Because you ain't talking right. You ain't looking right. You ain't acting right. Where your joy? She can tell, right? And vice versa. I can tell too. But it's not just us, but we can tell with one another. And we've got to learn how, if we're going to encourage one another, if we're going to learn how to give one another good feedback and critique, we've got to learn how to say in a nice, gentle way, "Ooh, you need to go and get filled up." We don't want to say that, right? It's kind of like this. You know, when you're talking to somebody and they've got something in their nose. He said, please tell me if I'm, you know, at least don't let me walk away from this conversation. going to somebody else, right, to go stand in their face and you're going to let me walk away. Because you would like say, ooh, we need to go and finish this conversation. No, just tell me. Give me a Kleenex or something. What you say? I need to take her to Mike. What are you saying? She said, this is some good advice. She said, I tell people I can't hear you right now. Why? Because what I see is talking too loud. But the right thing to do would be to say something, right? Right? But you and I know that it's not always easy to say, I'll give you one even harder than that. You ever been talking to somebody and they've been in your space? You've heard that expression, when you breathe out, someone else is breathing in. And as they are breathing out, the air that you're breathing in becomes a little bit, did you say unpleasant? You said stale. It becomes like, you know what? You gotta hold your breath in between, right? She said, I say you need a mint. She said, I lay them out on the table. Yeah. So those are those physical attributes that manifest that something somewhere else needs to be fixed. And you have a ready response, that whether it's the thing in the nose, you give a Kleenex, whether it is the air that's being breathed out, you say, here's a mint. you try to fix the situation. When you see a brother and sister who is in spiritual decline or who is not responding in a spiritual manner, nor allowing the Spirit of God to be manifest in them, you and I have got to learn the same technique and method, saying to them, not these words, you need to be filled, right? You need to surrender yourself to God's Spirit. We need to be able to do that because it encourages that individual then, or it should encourage that individual to go and take necessary action to keep walking in the Spirit of God. Because he says we need to be filled. The same attitude that we have about saying, do not be get drunk with wine, have that same attitude, he says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. You and I have got to get to the place of where we realize that the only help that we have is the Spirit of God. That he really does make a difference in the way we think, the way we process, and the way we live. That he really is our hope. Because what happens is you and I sometimes start to think that anyone in the world can live like you've been living. Well, if that is the case, then why do we even need the Spirit of God in our lives? No, he says the world does not recognize him. The world does not receive him. He's giving you something different than what the world has. And you need to realize, I need the Spirit of God in order to walk in the ways of God so that God's purposes in my life can be fulfilled. And when I get that place of where I need him like the air that I breathe, it changes my approach. Amen? It's like move away from, nope, I'm not going to walk in my own strength. I'm not going to walk in my own wisdom, but I am going to be filled with his Spirit and let his Spirit energize me. Go to the second part of that in verse 19. He says, be filled with the Spirit and then speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. So he's telling us as you're filled with the Spirit, it's going to impact the way you interact with one another. Amen? It will make a difference in how you do what you do. With psalms, as you know, are generally expressions of praise. You go through those psalms and you're going to see, for the most part, it talks about praise and thanksgiving. Hymns reflect upon the majesty of God. We were singing earlier talking about there is no rival like our God. That's one of the attributes of a hymn. What a mighty fortress is our God. It looks at God's attributes. And it highlights them. He says that you and I are to speak to one another by the Spirit with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Now, this is Sister Charzetta. Sister Charzetta loved to get songs from the Spirit. Amen. She done made up songs that night. You know, now you know that ain't no song. She know it ain't until she starts singing it. Amen. It is because the Spirit of God has given her a melody to go with those words. Many times it is a song that she takes from the Scripture and simply begins to sing. But it's like songs from the Spirit. Songs do what? They normally make you happy. Amen? Singing, it's the whole idea of the Spirit then is going to build you and me up. It says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. So the Spirit is going to help you move to a place of where you are singing and making music in your heart to the Lord while you interact with one another, encouraging one another. You're building one another up. You're giving words of truth. You're giving insight from what the Spirit gives, and you are building one another up. So he's saying, be filled with the Spirit so that your transactions with one another are good, pleasing, encouraging, life-giving. Amen. I think there was one more scripture. Yes. always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then you're filled with the Spirit. It's going to help you communicate effectively. Your heart is going to be filled with joy. And then it says that you are going to be giving thanks to God the Father. And this is probably the part that gets you. It says for everything. For everything. That means in good times and in bad times. Now, I always like to say it doesn't mean that I'm necessarily giving thanks for the bad thing. I'm giving thanks to God the Father because he is with me in the midst of the bad thing. I'm able to see the bad thing through the lens that God is with me. Amen. And it changes our perspective in the way that we operate. And here's the key. You and I have to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. We have to be filled with him. We have to operate in the truth of who he is. The understanding that he has come so that we can walk upright before him. Amen. And so then, this month we've been saying, we've been choosing a day of the week to fast, and we've been saying, God, fill me with your Spirit. It's been an acknowledgement, not that we don't have his Spirit, but it's been an acknowledgement that we need more and more of your Spirit. We've been doing it through the month of July with the realization of it's a practice that we need to start putting, or an activity that we need to start putting into practice daily. That when you and I begin our day, when you and I begin our time, we need to begin it with the idea of, God, I can't do this without you. Fill me with your Spirit. We've been doing it from the perspective of, God, as I go from task to task, from moment to moment, I need you to fill me with your Spirit. It is with the understanding that there are certain attributes of the Spirit that will show up in different times. And what we've been saying is that, God, I want you to fill me with your Spirit. It is the acknowledgement. I don't just need your Spirit to help me sing on Sunday when I'm on the praise team, or to help me pray while I'm praying, or to help me preach while I'm preaching, or to help me teach while I'm teaching. I need your Spirit to help me live. To say that I can't do this in my own strength. But I need your wisdom. Okay, turn to Isaiah chapter 11. It's a verse, set of scriptures that we've read before. To turn to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 is where we want to go. Are you there? In verse 1, it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Now, that word branch is capitalized because this reference is to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So the word branch is capitalized. Next, you look in verse 2, and it describes, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And then he starts to enumerate or dissect or identify some characteristics about the Spirit. He says the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And so he says that when Jesus comes, what will happen is that the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest up on him. Then he starts to again identify different characteristics or aspects of the Spirit. And so the very Spirit of God that is living on the inside of you, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of might, the knowledge and fear of the Lord, that's the spirit that's living on the inside of you. That he wants to produce in your life and give whenever it is needed these particular attributes. He wants to show up. He wants to fill you so that he is able to do this in you. He's not just the spirit around you. He's the spirit inside of you. And so you're saying, fill me fresh and new. And when you learn that you and I are walking, living by the spirit, it is not just a Sunday engagement, right? It is, he is with you. For he has said, never will I leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. What you learn then to do is understand that when you're in a situation where you need wisdom, you're saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Spirit of wisdom, help me. And your ears are tuned and you are listening for his help. Now, this requires that you have to also sometimes wait. He doesn't always respond at the moment you say, help me. Sometimes you've got to wait. Now, this is your faith, your trust in him. Can I wait long enough for him to give me the wisdom that I need to make this decision? Or to understand what's going on? And so you've got to exercise your faith because the one who lives in you wants to reveal to you his will for your life and for this experience. You remember back in Psalm 32 where we were at the beginning? Verse 7 said, what? You are my hiding place. You surround me with songs of deliverance. That was the psalmist's declaration to God. And then God said to him, I will instruct you the way you should go. I will teach you and I will guide you. And then he cautioned the psalmist. He says, do not be stubborn. What he said was, don't be like the horse or the mule that needs a bridle or a bit in order for them to walk in obedience or come. So don't be stubborn. That when God speaks, respond to what he is saying without any additional external stuff to push you to him or to push you in that direction. Here's what happens when you and I are interacting with God, the Father, the Son, through the Spirit of God. He leads us. He doesn't drive us. Okay? We're not cattle. He leads us. He leads us by the gentleness of his voice, by his word. He leads us. He says, this way. Your job then is to, one, be able to recognize his voice, and then respond to his prompting and to his leading. Don't be stubborn. Even if what his prompting is telling you to do is not what you, you know how it is, sometimes we don't want to do what the Lord is telling us to do. That classifies as being stubborn. Amen? To know the word, to know what to do, but then choose not to do it. Yes, that's disobedient, but that's stubborn. And when you are walking in that manner, you cannot expect to receive the blessing of the Lord. And when I say blessing, I'm talking about the revelation that comes from the Spirit because he is leading you, not driving you. So you and I have to learn how to have a posture that says, God, I am trusting you and waiting on you. I need the leading of your spirit in my life more than anything else. And so we also have to get to the place of where that becomes one of the greater things that we also emphasize. But I can't emphasize what I'm not practicing. Amen? And so then, we're talking about developing a practice of where we are regularly saying to the Lord, I am yours and I belong to you. I will crucify myself, lay down my old life so that I can take your new life in me. I will let you transform me and change me so that your new wine can fill me. I will walk in your strength and lay down my objectives so that I can embrace your objectives, because your spirit has come that I might live according to your will and your purposes. I will allow you to be my source of strength, my energy. I will allow you to be my wisdom, my direction. I'll allow you to be my compass. I'll allow you to be the one who leads me and directs me, because without you, I am lost. I won't rely on myself. I won't get caught up in taking too many selfies. I won't rely upon my own plans, but I'll listen for your plan for my life. Why? Because I belong to you, and I exist to bring glory and honor to your name. I exist so that Jesus is exalted and he is glorified. In order for Jesus to be exalted and glorified, I must continue to decrease so that he can increase. And so the old me passes away, and I don't try and put it on life support. Amen? Because I just don't want to see that part of me fade away. No. I'm pulling the plug. I'm pulling the plug because I want God to be new in you, so that what I do, what I say, how I live reflects your will for my life. And so I won't be stubborn, but I'll let you direct my path, and your will become my will. Your passions will become my passion. What excites you will also excite me, all because I've allowed you to fill me fresh and new with your spirit. So the old me dies, so that the new me, really the Christ in me, can live. Amen. And then I'm going to encourage others to do the same. I'm going to encourage others to do the same. Adrian, it starts in your house, right? I love what you said. You said, what Pastor Forney is going to say to my kids is not going to be half as effective to what I'll say to my kids. You're absolutely right, because that's your house. God has called you to be the head of your house, right? He has called you to say to your house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. But Brother CJ, he says, you've been called to lead your family. And he makes it hard, right? He says that you got to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And you remember how Christ loved the church, right? He laid down, he died for her. And so he's saying, you got to die. You got to die for them. You got to die to self and say, she is more important than I am. They are more important than I am. And God, I come and I put my hope, I put my trust in you, and I need your spirit, because you know that I can't do this without your help. And until you get to that place where you know that you can't do it without your help, you and her are in trouble. Because if you, God, listen, it is no longer me. God don't need your help. He needs your cooperation, but he don't need your help. He needs your participation, but he don't need your help. It is like, God, I need you, not that you need me. We've got to get to a place of realizing that, God, I need you, because I can't do this without the help of your spirit. Not just the word. Yes, don't you let up on reading your word. Don't you let up on feeding in the word. You keep reading that word and eating and getting a good, healthy diet. But whatever you do, don't you try and eat that cereal dry. Amen. Put the milk of God's word in there. The milk of his spirit in there. So that when you're eating it, can I tell you it'll go down easier? Not just his word, but you need his spirit. You need his spirit, and you need to act like you need his spirit. Where we are at the place of, yeah, he is the air that I breathe. He's the air that I breathe. I need him. I need him. Story is told of a motivational speaker who had a young man come and wanted to learn his craft. Guy talked about how serious he wanted to be in developing that skill in his life. This older man took him to the beach. Had him walk out in the middle of the ocean. He walked out there, took the young man, and he pushed him down. He held a young man there. The young man is kicking. He's screaming. But he still got life in him. Old man pulls him up. He's he says, "How bad do you want it?" Young man says, "I want it bad. I want it bad. I want it bad." Wrong answer. Old man takes him and pushes him down again. He holds him there a little while. Pulls him back up. "How bad you want it?" "I'm telling you, I want it bad. I want it bad." Wrong answer. Pushes him down again. The young man now, he's kicking and he's screaming and he's failing and he pulls him up again. "Now, how bad do you want it?" He said, "I want it like this air that I'm breathing. That's how bad I want it." Old man said, "Now you ready. When you want it like you want the air that you breathe, now you ready." And all I'm saying, brothers and sisters, you and I have to want the Spirit of God living and dwelling in us like the air that we breathe. And when you want him that bad, he'll fill you and do in you the things that he has desired to do in you, not just what you want. Because he comes that you can walk in God's will, not in your will. He comes so that you can do what God wants you to do, not what you just want to do. And you've got to want him bad enough to want God's will in your life so that he can empower you to do it. Amen.